You are listening to Rift Overcast.
Hello, welcome back to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me, as always, my co-host, Joe.
Hey.
1.9 hit the live servers on Wednesday, June 27th, and while many are very excited about everything that accompanied Rift's newest patch, there are others that are fairly sore about it. But before we get into that, let's roll through the poll. See what it did there? The poll from last week was, what was your favorite dungeon or dungeons from Rift Classic? I don't think I have to list all the options, because people know what the dungeons are. But the winners are Realm of the Fae, Deepstrike Mines, and Charmer's Caldera, each with 6 votes out of 26 voters.
Retarded.
Not a fan of Realm of the Fae, Honjo.
I think, as bad as that is, I don't dislike Charmer's Caldera. I think it's pretty good, but I wouldn't expect it to be some people's favorites, though. I think it's kind of like middle-of-the-road instance. And I think the most surprising thing of all is even the Realm of the Fae thing, as bad as that is that Falcon's Cave got 0. I love that instance.
You're right. It did. Not a single person voted for Foul Cascade as being their favorite instance. Some of the other dungeons were fairly close with votes of 2 or 3. Let's see. The next closest after Realm of the Fae, Deepstrike Mines, Charmer's Caldera, each with 6 votes, was Iron Tomb and King's Breach with 5 votes each. But yeah, Foul Cascade got 0. I like that instance too, to be honest. That's one of the few instances that has a rift within it, too. And I remember that was a big deal when we first saw Foul Cascade, was it was cool to see the rift in the dungeon.
Well, then I just like the surroundings. I mean, that's what kills it for me in Realm of the Fae. The only boss that gives me any enjoyment is Azure Phineas, but that's just to hear you giggle over the same line he said 1,000 times.
Okay, because it never gets old. And you know I'm going to have to quote that now. I'm going to have to sample it again.
I think it's overkill by now, okay? But King's Breach is probably my favorite. I think King's Breach and Foul Cascade are probably my favorite.
My favorite is probably definitely either Charmer's Caldera or Deepstrike Mines. Expert Deepstrike Mines, when that one opens up into the expert mode, that new area it looks nothing like the rest of the mine. And just even the original area for regular Deepstrike Mines, just looking around and seeing the network of just bridges and platforms and all these things, I think it looks amazing. And then you get behind into the expert area, and it completely changes, and it's all this like high tech, this cross between like machine and tech and lasers and stuff, and then it's got this like old school tiling and ruins and coffins and tombs and everything in it, and I think it looks insane.
Deepstrike Mines is up there for me too. It's funny. I like the expert area, but I actually almost wish that they would have continued with the expert area, because it's extended obviously over the normal area with the whole like mine concept, because I think they could have done more with that. And I like that part of the instance more than I do the latter half.
This was kind of one of the things that originally drew me to Rift when I remember watching the trailers back before it came out, that they were talking about how once you increase the difficulty level, you go from normal to expert or expert to master mode, because they didn't actually say how many difficulty levels there were going to be back when these trailers were, the thing to watch. But they were talking about how, you can increase this dungeon to expert mode and unlock an entire new area. Like, this isn't just we threw one new boss in an already existing area. They said that the whole dungeon changes. And it's true for most of the dungeons. Not all of them did that, but a lot of them did do that. And I think Deepstrike Mines was one of the most prominent ones. And with the expansion coming, I really hope that they haven't forgotten about how big of a draw that was to the game.
Oh, yeah. Have they confirmed whether or not they're doing that? I really hope they continue that trend. I think the only instances that didn't do that were what? Realm of the Fae. Try to think. Besides Realm of the Fae, what didn't do that?
God, there's so many dungeons I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head, to be honest. And King's Breach had that has that little room that opens up at the end with the one boss.
Oh, Lantern Hook didn't do it either, did it? Oh, no, it did add a boss, but it didn't add like a whole another wing.
Yeah, Lantern Hook didn't open up at all. Realm of the Fae doesn't open up at all. Iron Tomb opens up for one boss. King's Breach opens up for one boss.
Foul Cascade is one boss, isn't it? That bird that flies around? Or is that normal?
Yeah, no, that's a new boss. The bird in Foul Cascade is new, but there's no new area in Foul Cascade that opens up at all. Same thing with Abyssal Precipice, didn't have anything. Chalmers Caldera doesn't have anything.
Rogue Descent is a mess. It's like probably more, or at least as big of an addition onto it as Deep Strike Mines is.
Yep, Darkening Deeps didn't have a new... Darkening Deeps opens up into a new area just for Skarn. You go down the elevator for the final boss and Expert, and that's it.
I really hope that they... I mean, especially since they're only launching 7, as opposed to... God, how many are even on this list?
11?
Yeah, so if they're doing 7, I really hope that a vast majority have a... pretty extensive wing open up with Expert.
Yeah, I think that Deep Strike Mines, like I said, is probably the most prominent, but Runic Descent is also a great example because that does open up into a fairly large new area. And, you know, like we were just saying, we can only actually name 2 dungeons out of the classic dungeons that opened up into such a large new area, and I really hope that they do realize, because, you know, Rift has been out for over a year now, so I'm sure a lot of people have just gotten used to the fact that these dungeons look the way they do on Expert. People aren't really doing them on regular so much anymore. You know, you might do it once to get the quest done when you're leveling up, but you don't really spend a whole lot of time in dungeons for the most part. You just kind of quest and want to get to 50 as fast as you can. Once you do get to 50, it's so easy right now in the current game to just jump right into doing the Experts that you're pretty much never going to see, you know, the non-Expert version anymore. So I think people have just gotten used to seeing the dungeons the way they are on Expert mode and have completely forgotten, and I hope Tryon has not completely forgotten, that these were brand new areas designed specifically for Expert mode, and that's something that could really help sell the expansion, that could make the new dungeons in the expansion a lot more fun, because obviously we're going to be doing those on normal as we're leveling up through the expansion, and then when we get to 50, it would be kind of disappointing to go through the exact same thing that we went through for the normals, you know?
Yeah, and I hope that the master mode is the same thing. I mean, I don't expect, like, as extensive as Deep Strike Mines is from normal to expert, if there was expert to master, but I do expect, like, at least a couple bosses, maybe a small little wing added on.
Well, they're going to have to step it up. I mean, they are releasing Storm Legion with 3 new raids. Hopefully, from what we can tell, because they haven't said otherwise so far, hopefully right at launch we'll have all 3 new raids available to be able to go through, and they're, I'm assuming, going to be all in the same tier, because it wouldn't make sense to start with 2 tiers of gear or anything. And so they have to step it up, and, you know, when the game first released, it released with 1 raid. Now it's going to the expansion is going to release with 3. They're only releasing with 7 dungeons, but, it, you know, I think that they need to continue to step up their game in order for the expansion for Storm Legion to be successful, and each of those 7 is going to need a master mode. They're going to have expert-only areas to them. Otherwise, it's going to be like Rift Classic launch again, you know what I mean? Where there's just going to be all this new content, and it's going to be new for maybe a month, and then it's just going to get old.
Well, that, and, you know, we were talking off-air, that, you know, the next couple of months are going to be rough on Rift, because nothing, you know, with the exception of 1.9 just dropping, nothing really huge is going to come out. And like any game, doesn't matter what game you're playing in the MMO genre, right before expansions, you usually have lulls, because, you know, people will start losing interest until the expansion's out. So when you have big competition like Secret World that's coming out very soon, and Guild Wars that was just announced, you know, you're going to have to put as much work and as much things in the expansion to intrigue all those players that by the time the expansion comes out, because now it's confirmed the 4th quarter, which begins in October, so you're talking at the very least a 2-month buffer for Guild Wars, like a 4-month buffer for Secret World. You're going to have to intrigue people that are already settled into another game, assuming they play those games, which I think a huge chunk of people will, to, you know, essentially leave them. And I know that Guild Wars is free, but I still think that, especially with the older crowd that there is in Rift compared to other games like WoW, we have a younger crowd, so they essentially have more free time. The older crowd really cannot, they don't have the time to devote to 2 separate games.
Yeah, but I think Rift has its own market. I mean, obviously, I think it would be ignorant to say that we're not going to suffer a little bit. But I mean, if Storm Legion, we don't know what else they're going to show us yet. So maybe in the next live stream, which is supposed to showcase exclusively Storm Legion stuff for us, then their next live stream on twitch.tv/Rift Game, that's Tryon's official twitch.tv channel for Rift and for streaming their new content. If they continue to show us big stuff building up to more towards Guild Wars 2's release and more towards Storm Legion's release and stuff, you know, between now and then I think they could definitely inspire a lot of interest. I think that they've already inspired a ton of interest. And speaking with Storm Legion, something else that's great that they're going to be doing with Storm Legion, by the way, is that they're going to be definitely bundling it with Rift Classic. So if you don't have Rift Classic yet, if you're a new player, when Storm Legion comes out, you can actually buy Storm Legion, and you don't have to go and buy the original copy of Rift. If you do already own the original copy of Rift, they are going to be discounting Storm Legion for you, so Storm Legion will not be full price. Basically, everybody is going to be paying the same price for Storm Legion, whether you're a current player or not, which is just excellent.
Yeah, I like this. You know, we're talking on and off air about, you know, what they'll probably do. We both assume the bundling, but we anticipate them to kind of add on to it. But, you know, Rift right now is literally $5. Obviously, that's without a free month. But we assume that the expansion are a free month, so, you know, that would kind of negate it. But the fact that they're not even doing that is really good. I'm really curious, like, what the price is going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, like, $29.99 now and a discounted price, assuming, you know, you have Rift Classic ready, is like, I don't know, $19.99 or something to that extent.
Oh, we could speculate on the price. I really hope that it does come out soon. I really wouldn't, especially considering that it's going to include Rift Classic. I would not be surprised if it was like a full price game, like $50-$60.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame China at all for that. I actually hope that it's some sort of considerable price, as funny as that sounds, because I want trying to generate as much revenue as possible, honestly, because the more revenue they generate, you know, obviously the better they're going to do. And it's not like they're asking us to pay for some dumb service like server transfers. You know, it's simply the expansion, which is obviously very legitimate.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, it's obvious when we talk about the negative things and the positive things about Rift and everything that Tryon's done since we started the show. We talk about it all the time, so we try to remain as objective as possible, but I can honestly tell you, anybody listening, that I really feel like when I'm looking at, you know, am I getting my $15 a month worth out of the game that I'm playing, I didn't really feel that way for several other MMOs that I played. I really enjoyed them. You know, I really enjoyed World of Warcraft. I had a lot of fun in Ion. I had a ton of fun in City of Heroes. But when it comes to Rift and Tryon, I really feel like I'm getting my money's worth. So whatever cost they do decide on for the expansion, I mean, I'll pay it, because I know for a fact that regardless of my opinion or how satisfied I am with some things that they've released, the majority of stuff that they put out, it's fast, it's quality, I'm getting my money's worth out of it. So that money's going to come right back to me.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, honestly. I mean, there's other games, like you said, that they might have had spurts and little time where I was like, oh, this month was worth it or that month was worth it, but they never consistently like held it up, because there was always lulls between content. Also between anything, you know, whether it was a big patch or another expansion coming, etc. And I never found myself like consistently like, wow, yeah, that month was worth it, until I came to this game. And, you know, we were talking off air, I really wish I had the money to just buy a year, especially it's discounted right now. I think it's like $116, which comes out to like $9.99 a month. I wish I had that money. I would just buy a year right now, so I was, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about paying the monthly fee. Not to mention it's a discount, obviously, so that's another perk to it.
Yeah, I really wish that I had the money to just, you know, lump sum, boom. Just like three years. Well, it will have been, I'll get my 3-year veteran stuff, but that's like, that's why I want to do it, because recently they released the I didn't see anything about this. I know it wasn't on Cadbury before. Cadbury is a vendor, by the way, if you're not aware, that's available to you as a perk for subscribing to the game. I believe Cadbury is part of the 1-year veteran rewards. He's one of those. And it's an NPC that you can spawn. And this NPC, Cadbury, has several items that you can purchase from him for your veteran rewards. And recently, a white tiger mount has appeared on that, along with a couple of new costume pieces. And there's some other things too, but those were the biggest ones. And the new costume pieces, by the way, look awesome. There's a chest that looks like a huge just set of like samurai chainmail. It's just really long, like it almost comes down to my dwarf's ankles, and it looks insane. And then there's a samurai type style helmet that goes with the theme, and it matches the robe really well, but I think it looks a little goofy. I mostly just want the chest and the white tiger.
To be clear, by the way, I can actually summon Cadbury, and I do not have a 1-1 thing or 1-year veteran or what I call it, past history subscription, which is really funny, and people actually talk about it, that they give you Cadbury like before the 1 year, but then you can't buy anything off of him until you,
that's
you
right, yep,
get the 1 year. I think it's 6 months. I'm pretty sure it's 6 months, because I'm pretty sure I only have like 7 or 8 months tops. And I remember getting him a month or two, so 6 months would make sense.
Keeping with our remaining objective, you know, trying to continue to remain objective, Summerfest has also started the afternoon of the Wednesday that patch 1.9 came out, and when Summerfest came up, so did a hedge maze in every main city. And I almost feel like players have just lost their attraction to just little fun concepts that don't really hurt anything. And there's not really any real point to them, but it's just one of those cool things that helps emphasize the theme of whatever the developer is trying to do. And I think that's what the hedge maze is. But there have been a lot of players that have just been sneering at the hedge maze, that just want it gone. They just hate it. I mean, I guess I take it as they just basically want to be able to walk up to the NPC, get their quest, and go, and not have to walk through a maze to get there.
I'm one of the people that want this gone. And it's not because I'm not a check to a fun concept, because it's not a fun concept, the hedge maze, period. I think it's kind of just a waste of space. I really like all the things that go along with the events, you know. I love everything that was set up for the previous event, and everything with the Summerfest, with the exception of the maze. I will agree that I think that a lot of what people want for now is they just want reward. They look at what they get at the end of the tunnel. They don't care about anything on the course or the way there. And it's funny, one of the threads that was talking about removing it, some guy actually posted screenshots on how to jump on top of the perimeter of the maze and get the quest without ever actually being in the maze, which is hilarious that he went to that extent to figure that out.
that's great.
Yeah, I just think the maze is a waste of space. It's a camera nightmare. You have to literally, the only way to avoid that is like go into options and turn off camera collision, but the fact that I have to go do that is retarded. And the fact that it's literally suggested all the forums to zoom into first person to avoid all these problems is another stupid idea, no offense to Tryon. But what's the point of the maze? Like, no one like goes into the maze and is like, wow, this is exhilarating. Like, it's always space. Just put the guy with the quest there and that's it. I understand your point that, you know, that's how the mindset is now with these MMOs. People just want to get the quest and go. But if this was something that was genuinely fun and they still weren't enjoying it, I'd be like, okay, you know, you're 100% right. But it's not a cool concept. It's kind of retarded, and it's a waste of space. So
if you zoom your camera out, though, and you aim it straight down at your character, it's really not that difficult. I mean, yeah, sure, your camera might, you know, zoom in and then zoom back out every here and there when you go under, like, a tree branch or one of the little doodads that's sitting in the middle of the maze, but it's not that big of a deal. You know, zoom your camera out. If you don't want to enjoy the maze, though, for what it was, you know, put there for, zoom your camera out, look straight down, get your quests, and deal with it. You're in there for all of maybe a few seconds to grab all your quests. It's not even like it's a difficult maze at all.
But that's the point. It serves no purpose. You can just zoom your camera down, which, by the way, the fact that I have to do that, I think that kind of speaks volumes. Number two is, if I can just do that and see my way out, there's just no point to it.
The point is that if you actually want to enjoy the maze for it being a maze, you can zoom in to first-person mode and try and find your way around. It's an option, and I think that that's something that a lot of games lack. You know, I used to talk with one of my friends, not you, Joe, but you know, my buddy Greg, all the time. We always say, whenever we're judging a game, whenever we're deciding on how much we enjoy a game or not, one of the biggest things that we look for is options. You know, if the developers think of something, or the community thinks of something, we want to basically see it put in. For the most part, you know what I mean? Little things like this maze or having the option to zoom your camera super, super, super far out. Not everybody's going to do it, but as long as the option is there to do it or not to do it, then that's fine. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But if you do, there you go. You got something new that you can do. You know what I mean? It's just a maze, but I think it falls into the same category. It's an optional thing.
What you're saying makes sense if you were talking about something that was a side activity and it was like a fun experience. I don't see how this maze has any enjoyment factor to it whatsoever.
I don't see how mages have any enjoyment factor to them either. All they do is sheep me and cast fireball over and over.
And get destroyed in PvP.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, continue.
I'm sorry. Hedge maze and fun are not synonyms. They're definitely like the total opposite.
But the fun, it's not fun to use, so don't do it. You know what I mean? It might be fun, like, to the RPers on Fablite. Could do a ton of things with this maze being there. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that a lot of them,
if they put a vote in the game, like, 98% would say get rid of it. Like,
I don't think it would be that high. I think you might get maybe a 40% amount, 30-40% amount of votes that actually care to vote on it.
I think that you get the very minimum, like 80%. I just don't think it serves no purpose. If this was like a cool thing, like all the little quests ahead with the previous event where you had to, like, throw the ring on the, you know, like, catch the little mobs. Like, all those things are cool little side activities. This maze has, like, it's just, there's no depth to it. It's useless. And you can solve it by zooming all the way out and just looking straight down. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't.
Well, it's only going to be there for, what, 4 or 5 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, it's going to come back next summer. And I hope then they
well, maybe they'll do it different,
so I can set it on fire.
Maybe they'll do it next summer. You need, like, a mage to go into this labyrinth and, like, sheep somebody and fireball the walls and just set the whole maze on fire.
Sounds good to me.
Maybe next summer they'll come out with a maze that encompasses the entire city zone or the entire city, and you have to find your way around the entire city through the maze. Then zooming out won't do anything, and you'll have to participate in the maze. How about that?
Well, then I'll definitely have my saboteur spec ready to detonate.
So lame. There's an overlying point here, though, when it comes to the maze. The maze itself is like, to each his own. I think if you're one of the people that's making a huge deal about this, I think you're over-exaggerating. You may have a valid point. I understand that it can be aggravating whenever your camera jerks around and makes these, you know, weird angles on it, or zooms in or zooms out or whatever. Camera control is always one of those things where once it leaves control of the player, becomes extremely irritating. So if you don't want to do the maze for what it is, then yes, I understand why you're so irritated. But it's really not that big of a deal. But the overlying point here, really, is that is reward really all anybody cares about anymore? Because the maze adds to the feel of the Summerfest. Like, just it being there, it's just an environmental piece. Forget about, you know, actually going through the maze. It's an environmental piece that's there to help emphasize the theme. And that's what I mean by fun things, is things that just kind of emphasize the feeling of the world around you. And I think the maze does that.
So add snow globes in the game, and then the snow globe is a maze.
But all you care about is rewards,
no,
right? So you don't.
No.
What do you care about the snow globe for?
No, no,
it does.
No,
does
see,
it increase your strength by 5?
No, but see, this is what I was saying before. I am not of that mindset. I actually like little side activities. This does not qualify as a side activity. It qualifies as an irritation.
I'm not even talking about side activities, Joe. I'm not even talking about the actually participating in the maze itself. I'm just talking about the fact that, like, if it doesn't give you a reward, nobody cares. Is that really how things
well,
have gotten?
I mean, but that's the problem, though. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it's just there to, like, that basically for the ambiance of the entire event. Like, it adds more to it. But then why would you put dailies in the center of it, basically forcing people to go into it? If that was all true, leave the maze, put NPCs in there, and put no dailies in it. Put the dailies on the outside. Because you're forcing people to go into it, so therefore people are forced to react and how much they dislike it.
I don't know. I think people need to suck it up, go and get your quest, get out. It'll be over soon enough anyways, and you'll get your rewards from the quest. If all you care about is rewards, I don't understand why you're playing an MMO, why people, you know, want to see good graphics and want to see all this stuff, but then when the developer does something to enhance that for them, they just, you know, well, I don't like it, and all of a sudden rage, and it doesn't even matter.
I
like,
just think
how many threads have you seen about the kind of rewards that you can get from the new Summerfest thing? How many people are getting excited about that? Instead, they're posting about complaining about the stupid maze.
You're talking about MMO communities, especially like now at this game, like they complain how easy you get marks, but then they bitch that they don't get stuff fast enough. It's like you were just complaining that people get it too fast, but now you don't get it fast. Like, that's just, they constantly contradict themselves. And I do think that this is what all MMO games, the community in general, is moving towards. It's reward, 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 which is why you see MMOs, for the most part, though Rift hasn't completely fallen victim to this, is they're becoming more and more casual. And not
they're
casual.
Also becoming more and more theme park, right? We're seeing almost every MMO coming out now is taking on a theme park type, you know, set to it, because theme parks are all about giving you the rewards and you
exactly.
getting the rewards.
Which is ironic, because all I ever see now is posts asking for sandbox elements. Like, it's constant. People just keep posting them because they want theme park type like content, but they want like sandbox type, you know, environments and like side activities to do basically with their free time. And the MMO like developers are going in the complete opposite direction. They're just going more and more and more theme park because, number one, it's safe. You know, you always at least do respectable in terms of sales and generating income. And they don't want to take risks. And number two, it works. So, you know, it might not be like an absolutely ridiculous success, but, you know, at least it does moderately well. You know, why fix it?
Try, I might have to fix the cross-shard chat that came with 1.9. As of the most recent patch, you can now join the 50 chat or the trade chat, virtually any chat channel, as far as I'm aware, of any other shard by simply adding the @shard tag at the end of the join channel command. And the problem that a lot of players are having with this is that guilds and people, recruiters for guilds, are coming into, not to mention the trolls, but the trolls and the recruiters are all pouring into multiple server, other shards chats off of their shard, spamming their recruitment and spamming troll stuff and just being, you know, douchebags. I don't know how prominent the troll issue really is, but the recruiting thing, I personally have definitely noticed that it's hard to even have like a general conversation in 50 chat right now because there are so many recruitment messages going through. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, we were just talking yesterday that it just seems a lot of guilds are falling apart. And they know that probably the vast majority of people who are looking for guilds don't ever look at the travel hub forum. So they figure if they're not going to look there, I might as well spam it so it's inevitable so that they see it, you know, and being cross-shard obviously helps. I just, you know, I really like the idea of talking to someone cross-shard, you know, through whispers, but I just don't think they should be able to be in my 50 chat. I mean, if there's like one troll every hour that I have to ignore, that just seems so tedious. I just think there should, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that there should be like a toggle so I literally cannot see people from another server like in my chat or something to that effect. Other than that, unless like they completely remove it, I don't know how else they, you know, rectify that.
Well, some of the players are talking about the ability to actually ignore an at shard tag so that you can simply ignore at Deepwood or ignore at Gnarlwood or whatever, which if you're going to go that route, it would probably be easier for them to just add a toggle, show off shard chat, period.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That would work probably fine. I mean, we're on Greybriar currently, and I see Deepwood people on our chat like more often than I do see Greybriar now. It's ridiculous. You know, we didn't even mention in the notes, and we talked very, very briefly yesterday about it because I was really pissed off about it. But it's another thing 1.9 that I'm
kind of upset about. Should I be scared? This sounds like it's going to be another like rant warning.
No, well, it might, but I'm absolutely amazed and like just flabbergasted that they made the PvE objective, PvP dailies, make you like flag you. Because I had a conversation with the guy that was on Defiant for a good 20 minutes because he ganked me 5 times in a row because him and 4 other buddies, and there was literally just me. They just kept ganking me over and over again. So eventually I kept saying, dude, I have 0 PvP gear. And he was literally like two-shotting me because he was rank 40 and he was like in ridiculous gear. And I was like, dude, I literally have 0 PvP gear. Like, is this fun for you? And he kept saying like, yeah. And eventually he was like, you're boring. So we started talking, which ironically enough, we did. And he was saying that he thinks it's retarded. The guy who's ganking me is telling me he thinks it's dumb. I mean, if that doesn't scream to you that there's a problem, nothing will.
Well, one of the problems, okay, there's actually a few problems surrounding this. And I'm really glad that you did bring it up. I'm of the mindset, and I think a lot of people were upset that these PvE quests were exactly that. They were PvE quests for PvP reputation and for PvP rewards. So it was like, you can go out and you can do these, you're not flagged, you're perfectly safe, but you're gaining PvP, you're gaining favor, you're gaining prestige, and you're building reputation for PvP rewards without ever actually having to PvP. And that's why Tryon did this, that's why they made that change. So I'm not 100% against the change, but by the same token, there are some things wrong with this picture, such as one of the biggest ones, probably the biggest one, is that several of the items on the PvP vendor are extremely useful, such as the rune, for example, for a PvE player. And that rune, that kind of a rune, is not accessible anywhere else. To get your main stat, whether it be wisdom, intelligence, strength, or dexterity on your boots, far as I know, that rune is not available anywhere other than from the PvP faction vendor, which means that you have to do these dailies.
All right, but here's my problem, though. For anyone who's to say that they want to be flagged because, you know, you're able to do this stuff without ever entering a Warfront or Conquest, etc. Of all the dailies, and, you know, there are other ones that are technically PvE because they're, or I guess they're not PvE, but, you know, they're in the world, they're not in a Warfront. Like, go kill 20, I'm Guardian, so it'll say go kill, I think it's 20 or 25 Defiant in a certain zone. There's only 3 that have purely PvE objectives. And you get such a ridiculously low amount of prestige, favor, and reputation from doing 3. They don't have any PvP element to them whatsoever. And the main purpose they put them in there for was exactly what you just said, was so that PvE players could get reputation. The rep gain is so slow, though, so why would you penalize it? You know, it's not like I have 10 dailies and I'm just farming rep like it's my job. I'm doing three dailies, and they get 450 rep each. So, oh boy, I get 1,350 rep a day? Oh, God. It's like nothing. I used to get, like, when I was farming Order of Mathos, I would get, at the very minimum, just from doing the dailies, not counting any kill XP, I would get, like, 3,500 reputation. It's like miles and miles ahead what I'm getting. And the other thing that absolutely just kills this, and I think it's moronic, is all this does, and it's the same reason I hate PvP servers, is all it does is encourage unfair, unbalanced PvP. Because the odds of me going to one of these areas, getting flagged, and just so happens there's four of them and four of us, and we're equally geared, is maybe 0.000001% chance. So all you're doing is encouraging ganking and corpse camping, because that's exactly what happened to me on the very first day it happened. I got corpse camped for a good 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, it's obviously not fun for that to happen, but for the PvPer, that's what World PvP is. That's what Ion was, dude. I mean, you remember Ion? Granted, in Ion, there was a balancing mechanic, because in Ion, there was a limited amount of people that could go through a rift, which was your portal to the other faction zones, and it was the only way to get to the other faction's area in order to gank somebody. And those rifts opened at specific times and only allowed a certain amount of people through. So it was very easy for the opposite faction to band together and basically boot you out, to just gank you around every corner.
Exactly.
But
there's no regulation on this.
But that was what the rifting in Ion was all about, and that's what World PvP has been all about. That's what it was about in Lineage, it's what it's about in Ion, it's what it's about in any game, is basically just going out and running into that random PvP encounter, ganking somebody or you know, having to defend yourself against the gank. And that's not what we enjoy, which is why we're on a PvE server, but that's what the PvPers enjoy.
Well, you just basically proved my point, because we're on a PvE server. Why would they make the quest flag you? If you enjoy World PvP that much, why are you on a PvE server?
Why would you do PvP quests that net you PvP rewards if you don't want a PvP?
That's the point. I'm not doing that for PvP rewards. I'm doing them for the rune. That's it.
Right, which I think that's where the problem is that rune or an equivalent of that rune needs to be available through a PvE method. Something that, you know, maybe don't put endurance on it. Put, like, one more wisdom or one more intelligence on it versus what the PvP version of it has, you know what I mean? But take the endurance off of it and make it available through a PvE faction or PvE daily quests or something like that, or PvE tokens or whatever. And then that way, this whole change with the PvP quest will actually make sense, because really, doing it for the PvE rewards, that's the underlying problem. You know what I mean? If you're doing it for the PvP rewards, then you're doing it to PvP, and therefore you should be flagged and you should have to PvP in order to get them done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the underlying problem. I mean, I do think that, like I said earlier, it's three dailies. It's so inconsequential. I almost feel like trying to specifically put them in the first place for this very reason, so that a PvE player who doesn't PvP often, or if at all, can do the three dailies, not be bothered, and slowly gain a reputation and eventually get the rune. So I almost feel like they put it in for one purpose, and then, like, you know. So
well, this is another case of where I think the community basically doesn't know what they want, you know what I mean? Because so many people complained that these were PvE quests for PvP rewards. And yes, there is one PvE reward on the vendor, but essentially they were complaining originally that they are PvE quests for PvP rewards and you don't have to PvP for it at all. So Tryon just said, okay, well, enough people complained about that, so we're going to make you have to PvP to complete those. And now people are turning around and being like, why am I being force flagged to do these? Because they already settled into it and they already got used to it. So maybe Tryon's response time wasn't fast enough. Maybe the community would have had a different reaction if Tryon made this change where these quests instantly flag you for PvP back when everybody was originally complaining about it.
Why don't they just do a more intelligent approach and make it so that you can only do a certain number amount of these dailies per day? So let's say you can only do, I don't know, five. And there's only five ones with PvP objectives and the three PvE ones. That way you can't complain that there's the three PvE objective ones, because you could strictly do the five PvP ones and then you're capped.
I think that wouldn't be too bad. But I think that the solution is obvious. It's very simply, you need a PvE equivalent of that rune so that
If you want a PvP, you do the dailies. If you don't want a PvP, you don't do the dailies. Plain and simple, and you're not penalized for not doing those dailies, because right now, you know, you are. But you do have to understand something else about these dailies as well, is that extra daily, right, you have the three PvE ones, then there's that fourth one, which is to close five PvP rifts. How often do you open up your map when you're online, and we're online for a good portion of several of our afternoons throughout the week, how often do you open up your map and see that a PvP rift has been opened somewhere? Because I very rarely see them. I see them, but I very rarely see them.
Probably once a day, maybe twice at most.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is when you do see them, they're usually opened once. You might see two in a row, but usually you see one open, and then it closes, and you don't see another one for the rest of the day. You might not see another one for sometime in the next 24, 48 hours. You know, people aren't doing the PvP rifts anymore, and the reason for that is because it's the one extra quest that the PvP rifts, it was one of these half ideas like we talked about in the last episode, where it was really cool at first. They made a couple of changes to it that might have enhanced it a little bit, but overall, the rewards for the time spent doing the PvP rift just aren't worth it, because if you don't have a large group doing a PvP rift, it takes way too long to run the shards back and forth between the rift and the return points, and it's just not worth it for the one quest. So you skip that one quest, and then you go and you do these three PvE quests that you don't have to worry about PvP in at all. You can just get them done at the same pace that you do all your other dailies. So people weren't even doing PvP rifts because the quest for them just wasn't worth the time. By making you have to be flagged to do these three, it encourages you to start doing the PvP rifts again.
Still think, though, that it is encouraging the exact detriment that it pretty much plagues every theme park style MMO, MMORPG, you know, that does like PvP servers. It's encouraging ganking and like corpse camping as opposed to like structured PvP.
Well, structured PvP is something that's always been for instances. I think the real idea...
Well, what about
idea...
like RVR, though? That's technically open world. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm alluding to.
Yeah, RVR is something else entirely. But when it comes to just, you know, kind of running into random PvP anywhere out in the open world, as opposed to, you know, a specific area or specific zone that has fortresses and has these RVR objectives in it, I mean, people want the world PvP, or they claim to want this world PvP, this kind of just random, you know, one-on-one or random two-on-two or whatever that just kind of happens when you're out doing everything else that the game has to offer in the open world. And honestly, I think that open world PvP, not counting RVR is something else entirely, but just this random ganking and hunting people and putting bounties on people's heads kind of thing, I think that's something that went out with the old school MMO that doesn't really have a place in the current generation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, like you were saying earlier with Ion, like, I think that's the only way to implement PvP like that, is you have some sort of regulation, something that's constantly moderating it. And the rift system in that game worked perfectly. You know, I hate always alluding to it, but SOG had a very similar regulation, because almost all the PvP was to either go into a opposite faction city, which you could because all the factions were integrated. But once you flagged yourself, essentially, the NPCs would attack you, so you know that would deter you. And then the biggest fights were essentially guild versus guild, and guilds could have like guild cities basically, and guild cities could put up like turrets basically. So as soon as you flagged yourself, you wanted, like, there was so much things throughout the world that was regulating it.
Well, I think that's because the game was actually built to accommodate that kind of world PvP. And if a game isn't originally designed for world PvP, such as, you know, Star Wars Galaxies, Sandbox,
exactly,
it's already got the means, the environment, it's already prepared to accommodate the world PvP in the way that a lot of people enjoy it. Ion, specifically designed for world PvP. It had its fails in several areas of PvP, but I still credit Ion with the most fun PvP that I've ever had in an MMO RPG as far as just open world PvP, because of the way that the Rift system worked. But Ion was designed for that from the beginning. Rift was not. When Rift was first released, Treyarch said specifically that they want to try to accommodate all types of players. So there will be PvP. And they will focus enough on the PvP to keep it fun and keep it like functional, but that they were never going to actually shift their focus at all to PvP. And I think that they've already gone above and beyond that statement and done a lot more for PvP than I ever expected them to do in this game. But Rift is still a PvE game, so it's not capable of accommodating this kind of open world PvP.
Yeah, and that's why I find it ironic that they would almost encourage it with the quests.
Tryon trying to accommodate all the players, and you know, I think people are too short tempered with this sort of thing, especially when it comes to Tryon, because they may not always have the right answer. But I've never seen a company put this much effort towards trying to satisfy all aspects of every player.
Someone said on the official forums today, I forgot exactly what the thread was about, but it was essentially some sort of complaint about something in 1.9. And it was kind of dead on. Like, he was basically explaining that in other games, whether it was World of Warcraft, EverQuest, whatever the case may be, people would complain less because they were so used to basically the bad customer service, the bad response time, etc. He was basically trying to express that, as funny as it sounds, because of Tryon's fast reacting, when they do mess up, there's almost like an excessive amount of complaining because people don't expect it. And then when it does actually happen, they want it rectified so quick that it's like not even realistic.
You know, absolutely. I haven't even given that much thought, but that's definitely true. You know, it's like, you know, feeding the dog. Like, don't feed the dog, he'll follow you home wanting more food kind of thing. You know what I mean? Tryon overfeeds the community so much, and it's so great. But exactly what you said ends up happening in the end, and it really is kind of a double-edged sword, is the more attention you give the community and the more power you give the community, the more power they want and the more they expect out of their company.
It's sad, too, because, like, Tryon, they basically, you know, are gamers, and I think that's the biggest flaw that happens with other games now, is the, I just feel like most other developers are out of touch. Like, they just don't play the game because some changes, you know, you'll literally be scratching your head because they don't make sense, and they obviously reflect someone who literally hasn't played the game in a very long time, you know, that's completely out of touch with what's currently going on. And the vast majority of Tryon, that's not to say Tryon doesn't make mistakes. They make mistakes, obviously. But the vast majority of their changes and all the things they implement to the game show the complete opposite of most of the developers. They show that they do play the game. They modify monitor all of the feedback and all of the constant concerns. So it's kind of, you know, it's ironic that would happen, because you think if anything they would get constant praise. And I do think they get praise from, like, the media outlets, but I don't think any of the community, like, stops and says, like, oh, you guys are doing a great job. And if they do, it's a extreme small minority of the player base.
That's a great point, because the press, I think, really is like that with just about everything, you know what I mean? Is they're really, really big to pick up on the headline, you know, attention-getting things that the company is going to do, whether it be something good or something bad. And they'll grab the really big things and then blow it up into a giant headline. So that could mean tons and tons of praise, or it could mean, you know, bashing a company, essentially, which, when you're the press, you have to kind of meter that, you know what I mean? Because if you don't, then you could end up completely losing any insight whatsoever or getting in trouble or suffering a lawsuit. But the community within the game never worries about that stuff. And they're more focused on, okay, we've got all this stuff that's great, what's next? You know what I mean? That's like their thinking, I think, for the community is, what's next? What needs to be fixed next? What is missing that they need to add next? And, you know, you receive, and then you just look past it to the next gift. It's like opening your gifts at Christmas. It's like, oh, wow, I got a Nintendo. That's freaking awesome. Boom, hold it up, take a picture, and then you put it off to the side and you go to the next gift. You don't hook up the Nintendo and leave the other 8 gifts under the tree and start playing the Nintendo. You toss it to the side. You'll hook it up later. You'll play it later. You'll experience it later. And you move on to the next good thing. You know what I mean? And if it's not there, then you're like, really? That's all I got? I just got the one gift for Christmas?
Well, I mean, I think it's also like the common expression, like, what have you done for me lately? Never mind the things you've done for the past year. What have you done for me lately?
I hate that line. I can only imagine how much the developers hate that line, especially in terms of Tryon, with how quickly they pump stuff out. I mean, like, there was issues with Instant Adventure, right, this week. 1.9 came out on Wednesday, and 1.9 introduced new Instant Adventures for Silverwood, Gloamwood, Freemarch, and Stonefield, which are the 2 initial zones for each faction, which is awesome. And they want to continue to do this and add Instant Adventure to all these different areas, but it was broken. It came out. People queued up. Some people, did you read about this, by the way, Joe? Some people actually ended up on completely different shards because they were thrown into another shard's instant adventure, yeah, and then they had to, like, transfer back.
That's why I disabled it, like, entirely for a number of hours, which is kind of funny.
But the point is what have you done for me lately? Well, here comes this awesome new patch, 1.9, that's got a ton of great quality life changes in it. It's got Conquest, which we'll get to in a minute. And it's got the instant adventures, it's got the barbershop, it's got all kinds of great stuff, it's got a new raid, you know what I mean? And it's awesome, and then, crap, something's broken, not working right. Within hours of 1.9 being out, like with that same afternoon, I want to say maybe 3 hours, 4 hours after it came out, they shut the servers down for only 30 minutes. It was only down for 30 minutes, it came back up, and instant adventure was functional again.
Though the rewards were broken.
Well, sure, but my point is that, you know, this is what they've done for you lately, okay? This is what Tryon's always really good at doing, is they are good at fixes. When something doesn't work, typically, we've seen a few instances where they haven't responded with the speed, but typically, they're going to respond with extreme speed in getting that fixed. You know, the patch just came out and they were like, crap, instant adventure's broken. Take it down, fix it, put it back up. Is it working? No. Okay, take it down, put it back up. Fine. I'm fine with that. And I think that's awesome. And that's what they've done for you lately. And that's why Tryon is the best company on the market.
Really quickly, since we're talking about instant adventure, I'll do it really quickly in passing. I think it was a couple episodes ago, we were basically speculating what they're going to do when they add all these new zones. You know, if they're going to make like specific queues, etc. And they basically just made it like one random queue. And I'm really happy they did this because I expressed serious concern that the population is already so spread thin, you know, before 1.9, between the Shimmer Sand and Stillmore and the Umbral one. And then when you introduce all these other zones and the fact that you can mentor down, so there's just as much, you know, motivation to do the low-level ones as to do the high-level ones, because if you mentor down a fifth, you get the same rewards, that it would just spread population so thin it'd be ridiculous. And if you're on, like, a server that isn't, like, tremendously populated, you know, you're going to be in, like, groups by yourself. Like, I was having that prior to 1.9, so I couldn't, you know, it couldn't get worse than that, but why would you want to continue that? So I'm actually really, really happy. They just made it one random button press, and you basically always are thrown into a group with at least a handful of people, so it's at least, you know, decent. It might not be, like, you know, 20 people, but at least it's not by yourself or you and one other person, which is just awful.
Absolutely. I totally agree, and it's definitely going to help with all the new players coming back to check out 1.9. Some of them might be brand new. Some of them might be returning and still have some leveling to do. They're going to have company in those original zones. They're going to have other people to do these instant adventures with, and it's going to be something new for them. It's going to be an enjoyable experience. It's not going to be, oh, what's this instant adventure thing? I've never seen this before. And then you queue up and you're like, well, apparently nobody else has seen this before because nobody's doing it.
Yeah, and I'm happy they added the rewards, which I did one today, by the way. And the rewards are basically before, and we actually talked about this. I'm actually happy they did this too. Was before when you did instant adventure, I'm not talking about the daily, obviously, where you get, was it three for doing seven of them? Before, I used to think that or at least I did at one point, that like, every step of the seven you're doing for your daily, you would basically random get an inscribed source stone. Because I remember sometimes I would literally be AFK and I would get a source stone. And that's when it occurred to me. It had nothing to do with participation in the actual step. It was just random. But I can safely say now that it's like your reward pretty much will always be a source stone. And then like you'll occasionally get, what are those things called? They're completely escaping me the name right now. The things that give you XP, basically.
The crystalline.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget the crystalline rewards.
Yeah, for planner tomb and XP. So, you know, I never expected them to give something ridiculous, but I'm happy now that it's a consistent source stone, like every step, basically. It's not inconsistent. Like, oh, I just did, like, all the work on that one, but I got nothing. Oh, I was AFK for that one, now I got a source stone. It was completely random before.
Definitely, and this is another great example of some of the quality of life changes that have come with 1.9. The mentoring, the way the mentoring works, and the way that they changed the instant adventure rewards and gave you these extra rewards so that it sort of, the rewards for doing instant adventure are not only easier to get to because you're going to be in a group more often, but they're much more consistent. So kudos, Tryon, because I think overall, in the grand scheme of things, 1.9 is really a great patch. But not everybody feels like that because there are a lot of PvPers that are very sore about the way Conquest was implemented. This was not on the PTS when they were testing it, and I know why it wasn't on the PTS when they were testing it, but Conquest has a cooldown. It's essentially, if anybody listening has played World of Warcraft and is familiar with Wintergrasp, then you remember that Wintergrasp would start a match every hour or two. I forget what the actual cooldown was on Wintergrasp, but it was a match would end, and then it would be a couple of hours until the next match would start.
This is exactly how Conquest works, and nobody saw this coming. I think one of the biggest things that upset players isn't just that there's a two or I think it's even like three. I think I've seen it as high as like 178 minutes or something, which I might have looked at a little bit, you know, after it had already counted down. So I think it's actually a three-hour wait in between matches, which I think is too long. I'll get to that in a second. But nobody saw this coming. Trion didn't say anything about it. And when they were testing it, they were only actually, like, you know, the community managers were only there and present for, like, a single Conquest match or maybe two Conquest matches. And then they would kind of shut everything down. So that's why you never saw a cooldown, is because they were testing it. But they didn't say that there was going to be one. So when it hit live, everybody was like, what the hell is going on?
I think what would be worse, too, was in the very beginning, like, literally after the very first one that was put on servers, there was 2 hour wait, you know, once the conclusion of the first one happened. And people came to the conclusion that the initial 2 hour wait was basically because there was so much demand for it that they were basically trying to like fix all the problems that happened in the first one, because it was a lot of like, it was basically just, you know, a big cluster of people killing each other, and they wanted to like fix problems, possibly put down the servers. But then once like two or three matches happened and the wait really didn't get decreased like really at all, I think that's when like people started getting really, really mad, because they started seeing it's, you know, a trend basically. They were like, oh, this wait is never going to go away. Actually, it might go down slightly, but it's never going to be completely gone.
Well, I think it needs to have a cooldown. It may not need a 3 hour cooldown. This is what I said I would get to, is if you don't put a cooldown on it, currently the prestige and favor gains for doing Conquest are extraordinarily high compared to doing a Warfront. I was in a Conquest match for maybe 10 minutes. I was in there right before it ended, and I walked out with like 4,500 prestige favor or something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but as far as favor goes, I average about 1,000 favor, or 1,089 is one of the numbers that I see, or 1,100, right around there, favor for a loss, for a losing Warfront, and I average roughly about 1,900, 2,000, right in that range, for winning a Warfront. So 10 minutes in Conquest right before it ends, and I get 4,500 favor, that's an extraordinary increase in favor gain. If they don't put a cooldown on it, why would anybody ever do a Warfront?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't the whole point, though, that it's going to be so long? I think that's what people are complaining, is that it's still too short. It's still, like, when I was reading, there's this, because of the sheer volume of people, it was basically, you know, a big cluster, and that caused the matches to be like 45 minutes, and people don't want 45 minute match. The whole point is that it's supposed to be, you know, ridiculously long, like at least an hour, if not two. So if it was that long, and I was reading that one guy said he did a match a little over an hour, he was involved in the entire thing, and he got 33k favor. But if it's that long, you could probably do what, like five Warfronts in that time, if not more. So I think that's what the problem is. They might have to scale down the rewards slightly, but I think that they have to put it in. Though I have read, though, that they are going to make it longer, because the required kills is going to be scaled up dramatically. Because if you have 500 people in a Conquest, the required kills, you know, goes through like in a flash, which is why the matches were so short. So
yeah, sure. I was in a Conquest match actually that ended in under 5 minutes. It was the shortest Conquest I've ever seen so far since it's been out, since we've been testing it. Never seen a match end that fast. And it was Nightfall just basically came out and just rolled over half of the map, and it was over just like that.
Well, I just said when they put in the wait, and Trion came out, and they said that the cooldown is going to be based on like time of day, basically. Obviously, you know, peak times will have a shorter cooldown, peak time being in evenings, obviously. And then, you know, non-peak times will have a long cooldown. But, you know, it really depends like how much, you know, the variation is. Like if it's like peak time is like half hour and non-peak time is 2 hours, I think you're gonna have a problem, because people are gonna get really mad, you know, if they're on at like 3 p.m and they have to wait 2 hours, you know, because what do they consider, you know, if they're strictly doing it on time? I don't know. I mean, you might have certain days where there's a lot of people on at a certain hour, so isn't that kind of like, and I don't expect them to constantly monitor activity, because that'd be kind of tedious and ridiculous. But at the same time, there has to be some system like put in so that, you know, if there are and just happen to be a lot of people on weird hour, like they shouldn't be penalized because they're on at a weird hour. You know, that just seems weird.
That does seem, I'm not sure that I completely follow that train of thought, but I actually want to backtrack a little bit to the favor gain, because I think that this kind of, It's a factor and a possible issue in and of itself, is how fast you can gain favor because of Conquest. And it also is directly related to the cooldown on Conquest. Now, you mentioned, like, how many war fronts, you know, can you do, like, you know, over the course of a conquest match? Well, to answer your question, the average war front is between 10 and 20 minutes. So let's say 20 minutes. Let's say that you spend about 20 minutes in a war front. That's 3 war fronts per hour. Conquest matches, what, maybe 2 hours long, right? Roughly 2 hours long on average.
Might be less than that, actually.
Okay. Well, for the sake of the example, let's say it's 2 hours. That's 6 war fronts. If you win every single war front, you said this guy walked out of a conquest with 33,000 favor. If you did war fronts for that whole 2 hours instead of doing a conquest, and you won every single one based on the average that I've seen of roughly 2,000 favor per match, you're getting 6,000 per hour, so it's 12,000 favor compared to 33,000 favor. If you did Port Sion, you might walk out with 5 or 6,000 favor for one of those. So if you add another 5, 6,000 favor on top of the 12,000 that I just mentioned, you're still only getting 18,000 to 20,000 favor for the war fronts. You're still making an additional 12,000, 13,000 more for the 2 hours spent in conquest. The favor gain is extraordinarily far beyond what you can gain out of a war front.
Okay. I literally just went to this thread, like, strictly to make sure I was quoting him correctly. I was actually wrong. He did a 25-minute match, and he got 33K prestige and 20K favor.
Even more to the point, actually. That's an even larger scale. A 30-minute match for, what did you say, 22,000 favor?
20K favor, 33K prestige.
20,000 favor, based on my average favor gain per war front, would take you 10 war fronts, which is over 2 hours worth of war fronts to gain an equivalent amount.
Well, then
amount.
They're going to have to probably do a mixture of boosting war front, you know, gains and lowering the conquest ones. And they have to make it so that conquests are consistently long. Like, you know, like you said, you had like a 5-minute match, this guy had a 25-minute match. Like, if they're consistently like 90 minutes or more, it's easier to scale their awards. But if you occasionally have like a, you know, a 12-minute match, that's going to completely skew everything in their favor.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that all players, regardless of your standpoint on the current state of Conquest, Conquest has only been out for 2 days. As of this recording, we're recording very, very, very early Friday morning, where it's, let's see, what time is it? It's 4 o'clock in the morning for us here in New Hampshire, New York, on the East Coast right now, and we're doing this recording kind of last minute, and then I'm going to go, and I'm going to edit it and throw this thing out ASAP. But Conquest has only been out for Wednesday and Thursday. That's all people have had on it. We got to give Tryon a little bit of time with this, because they haven't done anything like this before, and it's going to take some tuning, and I think that's probably one of the best responses that I saw a forum user respond with on one of the threads talking about Conquest. And I think it was actually Kalendros' thread about these issues on MMO Champions. Somebody responded and said, have some faith in Tryon. I agree, it can be very frustrating right now, especially if you're of the mindset that this shouldn't have a cooldown on it. Regardless of anything I've said, fact remains, still, you need to have some faith. Take some time. You know, this is the kind of thing, just the scale, the massive scale that Conquest takes place in, with how many players are involved in this, it was very difficult to test this. I think they did a really good job with testing it, trying to get the features in, make sure things were functional, but as far as tuning how long a match is going to last, how long a cooldown needs to be, or if there needs to be a cooldown, you know, how the buffs work, that's something that they're only going to really be able to tell by seeing how Conquest behaves on the live servers. So sit back, relax, get some favor, enjoy Conquest for what it is for the time being, and let Tryon do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, this patch is obviously insanely new. I think the from what I've read, because, you know, there's always common themes and trends in these displeasure threads, basically, I'll call them. I think the biggest thing with the cooldown is that it's pretty simple. A lot of people wanted straight RVR, and they were given Conquest, and they're like, okay, you know, we'll set up for that. And then they don't want a Wintergrass type feature, like you're, you know, referencing earlier. But they figured if it doesn't have a cooldown, or if it's like 5-10 minutes, you know, it's pretty close to RVR. But I think once the cooldown was introduced, you're pretty much sure it's definitely better than Wintergrass, without saying much, because Wintergrass is pretty terrible. But, you know, it basically is more fuel to the fire that it's basically like a ramped up and beefed up Wintergrass. And I think that is what bothers more people.
Yeah, it has a much more of a Warfront type feel to it, because you can only enter at certain times, and then you win a match, you leave, and you go do something else for a couple hours.
Yeah, I think that a lot of things will be modified. I wonder, you know, let's say it's a week from now and the matches are consistently 90 minutes. I'm really curious how they're going to monitor and modify how long the weights are, because how, like they said, how it's going to depend on time of day. That just seems really quirky to me, because I understand generally there's a common trend, like, and a common theme, like most people are on at like 8 p.m. at night, etc. But, you know, like I said earlier, if it just happens to on a Thursday, 3 p.m., a lot of people on, but because of time of day, there's a two-hour wait, that just seems really kind of stupid to me.
Well, you know, here's their chance to throw their favorite word out, right? Let's make conquest cooldowns dynamic. Let's base it on the number of people online when a conquest match ends. If there's a certain amount of people within the war group that are online, look at that, conquest is up again in 10 minutes. If there's nobody on, conquest goes on cooldown for a couple hours and waits for people to sign on. I don't know what kind of scripting or programming that would entail, or how difficult that would be to do, but it would be dynamic.
You know, this is when this type of feature would actually benefit from them having an alternate map, because they could essentially have like an alternate smaller map, because basically they're saying like 500 players or so are recommended for the Stillmore map. So if you had a smaller map, those are recommended for, I don't know, 200, that'd be great for like non-peak times, and therefore the cooldowns could be drastically reduced. I actually hope that that's in their plans for when they start developing an alternate map.
That's the real thing, is what's in their plans for Conquest. It's something that they're going to advance on. We could see that. I think that everything that we've said, and a lot of the points that have been made on the forums, and in a lot of these Conquest threads that are popping up, are all very valid points. They're all valid concerns. There's nothing wrong with any of them. Like I said, I think that Conquest needs a cooldown in its current state. There very well may be some alternative ways to make Conquest desirable without lessening the desire to do war fronts. Like, for example, just real quick, I was in a Codex match during peak times where it was a 5-on-5 in Codex because a conquest just started. So everybody was in the conquest. Nobody was in the war front. So I already see that you know, that this could be an issue that could negatively impact war fronts. But we could see we're going to see new maps. I think people like the idea of Conquest enough, and there's been enough of a positive reaction to it, because all the people that I've talked to, the forums always have had this trend in any game, any forums, have always have this trend of the majority of posts being relatively negative ones. It's not that people are trying to bash the game when they make these posts, but they're always focusing on what's wrong and not enough on what they're enjoying. But when I talk to people, you know, outside of the forums, when I talk to them in-game, when I talk to them on Twitch.tv, when I talk to them on Twitter or on Facebook, all the people that I'm talking to are very happy with Conquest and are currently having a blast with it. Because once you're in there, Conquest is a lot of fun. And I think that's the really important thing that everybody needs to focus on, is right now, it's fun and it's functional. You have to wait a couple hours to do it again, but they're going to do something. You've made your statement, you've made your responses, you know, and Tryon has obviously seen that. So We're going to see changes, and it's going to develop, and it's going to turn into something else. I mean, if they launch Storm Legion without Conquest, PvPers are already upset enough that they haven't said anything big coming new for Storm Legion yet. So if they actually, like, stop developing Conquest and launch Storm Legion without it, I mean, Storm Legion, I think, would just bomb at that point. So, I mean, they're obviously going to develop this further.
Yeah, and like I said it last few episodes, I hope that the more they develop it, the more and more it becomes a more and more like RVR type scenario, because I'll be more and more attracted to it the farther it goes towards that.
Well, if you're a new player or you're a returning player, this is a trend. Depending on when you stop playing, you may not have seen this, but this is a trend the Tryon has had. Joe's talking about things just developing and becoming better and better and better, like in terms of Conquest specifically, but we've actually seen that happen over the course of the last year and 3 months, the last 15, 16 months for Rift, pretty steadily, I would say, it's continued to improve. You know, each raid that's come out, there are people that are disappointed with Infernal Dawn, but really, it is so much better than like Greenscale's Blight was. I mean, the game has just gotten so much better. It's going to continue to do so. So if you're a newer returning player, now's a great time to get back in. And next week, Joe, and probably for the next few episodes, I would really like to kind of focus on, I think next week we'll do kind of a reflection episode, and we'll kind of reflect back on Rift Classic, kind of look at what brought us there originally, talk about some of the reasons why you should play Rift, kind of, you know, and go over kind of Rift's history for everybody.
As long as you don't, like, you know, reference Etch of Phineas's, like, quotes and voiceover as a reason
to
play.
Well, I probably would. That is an excellent reason to play, and Etch of Phineas shows up in, like, 4 or 5 different instances in the game, because Tryon knows how awesome he is, because everybody knows how awesome Etch of Phineas is. He's Etch of Phineas. He is, like, more important to me than Regulus.
Well, that, and you can battle rest like crazy in this game, apparently, because they apparently battle rest him like 12 times.
Yeah, Etrophinius doesn't die. He just keeps on coming back, just like my jokes about him.
And they keep getting worse.
That's all the time we have this week, but make sure that you continue to tune in, especially if you're a new or returning player. Continue to tune in to Rift Overcast. The next following weeks, like I said, we're going to do a reflection episode next week, and then the following probably couple of episodes after that, we want to go over some kind of newbie tips, some stuff that you need to know as a returning player, some, you know, where to get your gear, what raids to go after, how to help you find the guild, how to help you get into PvP, all these kinds of things like that. But that's all we have this week, Joe.
Yeah, I guess we'll just give you a sneak peek of one of the tips. Never go near Etrophinius ever, or I'll have to kill you.
If he doesn't do it first. Don't forget, Overcast will be live tonight and every Friday and Saturday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be streaming Conquest and Weekend Warfronts on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/RiftOvercast. You can also watch the stream from our website at riftovercast.blogspot.com and simply click on the live stream tab. There's still plenty of room if you're interested in streaming Rift content for the Twitch channel. If you'd like to become a part of the live project, then contact us by email at riftovercast@gmail.com, on our fan page at facebook.com/riftovercast, or on Twitter at riftovercast. Overcast is available on iTunes through the iTunes Store, or simply click the link on our website, as well as on Stitcher Radio. You can listen to the show via Stitcher by visiting Stitcher.com or downloading the application from the Google Play Store using your mobile device. Also, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RiftOvercast. And we're always looking for new guests to come on the show, be a part of Community Voice, so if there's any area of Rift that you have extensive experience in, or are especially passionate about, be sure to contact us with your desired topics and a little background about yourself. Overcast is recorded every Wednesday and airs every Friday each week. And as always, we want to hear your opinions on both the game and the show. So leave us a comment below on Twitter, Facebook, or via email, and we will see you next week.